Cambridge Certificate in Proficiency English Preparation Course by Cambridge Institute. This recording is copyrighted. This is the Cambridge Proficiency English Listening Test. Test 1. Now you will hear the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Now look at part 1. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear someone talking about their encounter with a celebrity. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
Well, I was filled with trepidation. You know, it's not every day that one says hello to a Hollywood movie star, is it? And she's been in so many films and all. I was in a right state. Told her I was a big fan and had seen all her films. Oh, she probably gets it all the time, don't she? So I reckoned I'd just bring up the last pic I'd seen her in. You know, the one where she played that hoity-toity miss. And I said, "You really done it well, love. Pulled off all that smarminess and laid the innuendo on thick, just like the good old days." Probably couldn't figure out what the blazers I was talking about, looked at me kind of funny as if I was barking mad. Well, maybe I was. I've been shaking her arm up and down for a good 5 minutes or so, and her smile was starting to slide off her face. That's when I thought, oh dear, I've gone and blinking done it now, haven't I? Made a right fool of myself. Wasn't till afterwards that my Jimmy pointed out that I'd confused her with another actress. Oh, well, what can you do? That's the price of fame, I suppose. Well, I was filled with trepidation. You know, it's not every day that one says hello to a Hollywood movie star, is it? And she's been in so many films and all. I was in a right state. Told her I was a big fan and had seen all her films. Oh, she probably gets it all the time, don't she? So I reckoned I'd just bring up the last pic I'd seen her in. You know, the one where she played that hoity-toity miss. And I said, "You really done it well, love. Pulled off all that smarminess and laid the innuendo on thick, just like the good old days." Probably couldn't figure out what the blazers I was talking about, looked at me kind of funny as if I was barking mad. Well, maybe I was. I've been shaking her arm up and down for a good 5 minutes or so, and her smile was starting to slide off her face. That's when I thought, oh dear, I've gone and blinking done it now, haven't I? Made a right fool of myself. Wasn't till afterwards that my Jimmy pointed out that I'd confused her with another actress. Oh, well, what can you do? That's the price of fame, I suppose.
Extract 2. You hear a radio program about football hooliganism. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
The role that the media plays in the escalating phenomenon of football hooliganism was recently raised in a European Parliament report. Some researchers had argued that the media not only highlights the subject, it actually promotes it. The British press in particular have been accused of amplifying the problem. In Euro 96, at least one tabloid paper drew a parallel between the England-Germany match and World War II. The British press have also been criticized for their xenophobic style of coverage of international football matches, especially those played overseas, where British fans are inclined to be the most belligerent. But it's not just the British fans who are to blame. Hooliganism is on the rise in many other European countries where, once again, the media is perceived as playing a key role. In fact, it is evident that some football hooligans actually relish the coverage they receive, and that rival gangs even go out of their way to compete for maximum attention in the press. The report recommended that the media cease the sensationalist coverage of violent episodes and concentrate instead on promoting fair play and good sporting values. The role that the media plays in the escalating phenomenon of football hooliganism was recently raised in a European Parliament report. Some researchers had argued that the media not only highlights the subject, it actually promotes it. The British press in particular have been accused of amplifying the problem. In Euro 96, at least one tabloid paper drew a parallel between the England-Germany match and World War II. The British press have also been criticized for their xenophobic style of coverage of international football matches, especially those played overseas, where British fans are inclined to be the most belligerent. But it's not just the British fans who are to blame. Hooliganism is on the rise in many other European countries where, once again, the media is perceived as playing a key role. In fact, it is evident that some football hooligans actually relish the coverage they receive, and that rival gangs even go out of their way to compete for maximum attention in the press. The report recommended that the media cease the sensationalist coverage of violent episodes and concentrate instead on promoting fair play and good sporting values.
Extract 3. You hear two people discussing their parents' retirement. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
Dad's been a bit lost since he retired last October. Feels like he's out on a limb. Mum says he just gets in the way and that he should go and join a golf club or something. It must be pretty tough for him, though. I mean, you give up your whole life serving your country and then suddenly that's it. You're not needed anymore.
Yeah, but there's a reason why they call the golden years. Retirement needn't be the end of the world. It could be the realization of life's ambitions. Take my old man. He always was a bit of an entrepreneur. And by the time his first pension check came through, he and my mum had already invested in a few acres of land in the south of Spain. They'd done their research, and so their first year turned up a good vintage. Now they're making a small fortune out of the vineyard and living life to the full.
Dad's been a bit lost since he retired last October. Feels like he's out on a limb. Mum says he just gets in the way and that he should go and join a golf club or something. It must be pretty tough for him, though. I mean, you give up your whole life serving your country and then suddenly that's it. You're not needed anymore.
Yeah, but there's a reason why they call the golden years. Retirement needn't be the end of the world. It could be the realization of life's ambitions. Take my old man. He always was a bit of an entrepreneur. And by the time his first pension check came through, he and my mum had already invested in a few acres of land in the south of Spain. They'd done their research, and so their first year turned up a good vintage. Now they're making a small fortune out of the vineyard and living life to the full.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.